Hi, this is Francesca Quarto. I am your host for Words to the Wise. Our guest today is Janet Trader, a woman who's received very many accolades and awards as both an artist and as a writer. Janet, welcome to our program tonight.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I wondered, I was looking over some of the information you sent me that I requested about your background, and I see that you've done a lot of painting, and I wondered how that correlated with your writing. Did your painting or your work as a painter inspire you to write?
No. It did not.
That's a short answer, yeah.
No, the reason I started writing is child-related. I was helping my middle grade and high school children with their assignments, their themes, their essays, and I discovered that I really liked writing, and I was an avid reader, and I thought, you know, I could write a book. So I did.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. I saw pictures that you were kind enough to share of some of your paintings, and I know you've done a lot of pencil, and you shared that with me, and you've done oil and watercolor. What kind of accolades and prizes have you won with your painting? It's a wonderful outlet for a creative person such as yourself.
Well, I have one painting that won Best in Show at a Valdosta show. And when I was a kid, I won a national award for pencil drawing. And I just won a first place for a photo. And the photo is one I took when I was a reporter, because I took a bazillion photos when I was a reporter. And I still have a lot of them. And I joined the local art league. It's called the Flagler County Art League, I think. And they have a show every month. And I think that's going to inspire me to paint more, because I like to be pushed.
Right. And that's actually, the photography, that's definitely will inspire your art, I would think.
Yes, it does. And because, when you do photos, well, when you paint, if you paint and you want to enter something, or if you want to paint professionally, you really should paint from original material and not copy something off the internet, even though that's easy to do. But, painting from your own photos. And that, of course, is really a lot more difficult, But I've painted, and I've always – the photography thing was something I had to learn to be a reporter. You can't small newspaper. You got to do it.
Yeah, right. I noticed that's how you started. That you actually mentioned that you were an editor for your local chapter of the Romance Writers of America, and I wondered, is that your favorite genre to work in?
No, I love the young adult genre. I love young adult. I really do. That is my favorite. I like middle grade and young adult. The characters are so much fun. You can do so much with, especially middle schoolers. They have so many weird problems. And middle schoolers, like I have one granddaughter and she's 12, but she's really short. And she just entered middle school. And I feel really bad for her, because there are eighth graders that are like 6.5 feet tall and have beards, and she's going to school with them. Middle school is difficult. It is a very trying time, and writing about the
it's
kids
a
that
time.
Are in, it's fun.
Yeah. And romance, I can imagine.
Romance has a lot of rules. I mean, I learned that when I was in romance writers.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
does. And
told the rules. I know. I tried to write romance, and yeah, it always
I mean,
it has to be called a thriller.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, if your characters don't meet on page one, well, then it's not a romance. That's I'm exaggerating there. But, I mean, that's the kind of rules that they have.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to take two people who could never even like each other, and they have to fall in love. I mean, that is the rule. It is.
Yeah,
you know, they
yeah.
have to be so far apart. You know, there has to be that conflict.
Sure. I wanted to ask you, I too have had reporting in my background as just a stringer, nothing as permanent as yours, but I wondered how that informed your writing skills. How did that help you to hone your writing skills as a reporter?
As a reporter, you sit down at your desk, and especially if you're working for a small town newspaper, sometimes I had 25 articles in two papers in a week. You don't have time to hunt for or wait for your muse. You write.
Right.
And I learned to write in a room full of screaming people talking, you know. I can tune it all out. And I would sit there and I would write all my articles, and I learned to write well. I think that's the best thing I can say about being a reporter is you cannot mess up. Your editor will throw it at you. You'll get all this red flashes and squiggles, and you have to learn not to be upset about criticism of your work. So many authors think that the words they put on paper are precious gems that should never be touched. But that's not true.
That's not
so
true.
I learned
that
to take
would be
criticism.
One of your pieces of advice for any writer, whatever genre, would be to be open to criticism.
Listen.
What?
Don't get upset.
And,
you know, sometimes maybe it's wrong, but I have a friend on Facebook. His name is Robert Walker, and he's a multi-published author. And he and I traded some work, and he teaches creative writing. And, you know, we traded work. I looked at his. He looked at mine. And he told me that I was I had pronoun confusion, you know, and he had a couple of instances he pointed out. And I looked at myself and I went, no, I don't do that. And then I read it and I went, oh, I do that. Oh, my God. And I learned not to do it. And, you know, and that's recent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have 30 books out and now I'm learning. I confuse pronouns. Oh, God.
That is funny. The predominance of the books you've written so far are in the romance genre. Is that right? And then
I pulled up published work list today, and I looked at it because you forget your titles. There's kind of a lot of them out there. And I wrote sleazy romance. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Sleazy romance.
It sells.
I think that's the thing. It did.
right.
So, I didn't enjoy
the airport. Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it all that much.
Did you find it wasn't it didn't satisfy the artist in you?
Oh no, I found out that writing sex scenes can get monotonous, especially when you're doing it a lot of them for these romances, and I got tired of it. And that's the other reason I like young adults so much is you don't have to. I mean,
tell
you want to branch into new adult. Pardon?
Yeah, I was just going to have you tell us about your first entree into the young adult novel. Was that the Vagrant Chronicles that you wrote with your son? Is that right?
Yes, Gabe. He teaches, teaches middle school.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He's
a great source.
No, he and I get together, and that's who I was talking to. And we come up with crazy ideas. and he gives me a lot of ideas for characters because he sees so many children. And you
oh,
know,
right.
And
he's
you know,
a great
he knows,
source.
Well, and he gets, like I said, he's an idea guy. He comes up with really, Vagrant was to a large part Dave's idea, and it was combined with mine. And Vagrant is really, it's won a lot of awards, and one of the reasons it won awards is because of a unique thing that we put in the Vagrant Chronicles, and that's the GMO corn. And the GMO corn is manipulated by the government to contain a drug that drugs the entire population. If you eat anything with corn in it, you consume this drug called SOPOR, and you become complacent and happy with the silliest things. And that, I think that's why it wins awards, because that's a unique idea. And Gabe came up with that idea. And I began the Vagrant Chronicles. I started it off with people living underground and using children as messengers to and from the upper world. And I got that from Mila 18, written by Leon Uris, about the Warsaw Ghetto. Because the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto used kids.
They did that.
Because they were small.
Sure.
And that inspired me to use that in Vagrant. You get ideas from all different kinds of weird places.
I think you're reading, you sound like you're like me. I loved like Exodus and all those kind of.
That
was
my favorite
like
book
very,
ever.
Yes, fabulous book. And I just like an eclectic mind. And I think that's one of the reasons we both read so avidly. Every writer has to be a reader. There's absolutely no way around that. I would like you to tell us about your latest book. And I came across this because we're both authors for Telltale Publishing. And you just published a book called The Young Adult Writer's Journey. And this book is so timely because I know so many people that have come to my book signings and said, oh, I'd love to write for young adults. And your book is kind of a go-to Bible, it sounds like, for them. Now, you wrote this, you co-authored this with Elizabeth Osterbrooks. So why don't you tell us, give us like an overview or a summary of what your book's purpose was and, you know, what we'll find in it.
It was Elizabeth's idea. She is my publisher. And she wanted me to write it. And I said, I would love to, but I really don't think I have the street credit to, you know, pull this off. Will you write it with me? So Elizabeth said yes, and we wrote it together. And it touches on every aspect of writing really strictly young adult fiction because, I mean, we don't touch too much on the basic writing skills that most people have by the time they've decided they want to write young adult or any kind of genre. You know, when you're down to the choosing a genre point, usually you can write and you don't need someone to tell you how to do that. So we included a lot about characters and about story arcs and the kinds of settings that you would find in young adult fiction. And we included a lot about the writer's journey, which is a book written by someone else. And the writer's journey is really cool because it's a book that tells you how to write, and it uses movies that you're very familiar with, like, for instance, The Wizard of Oz, and to break down the different parts of the story. So Elizabeth, I guess she took that in college, or she wrote something on it in college, maybe. She was very familiar with the writer's journey, and she incorporated most of those parts. I concentrated on the different kinds of characters. I have a 15-year-old living at home with me, so she helped, and we dedicated the book to her because I was like a reporter asking her questions. So what kind of kids go to school with you? what kind of cliques are in school? And I was getting all this right from the source. So it's a true and accurate breakdown of modern young adults. And modern young adults, I mean, a lot of people think, well, I can write young adults. I was one. But it's different now. The times are different.
Yeah.
What you remember from 20 years ago is not what's going on right now in high school and middle school. And we tried to bring it, make it as timely as we possibly could, you know, with modern day references, modern day examples. We tried to use as much different, you know, fiction and young adult fiction as examples that people know. I mean, because it's needed. People need to, you know, needed this book. I think they need it. I think they need it. And
I
hope they need it. Yeah,
well,
to, so that they get the characters right.
Yeah. What could I take out of that book if I was going to write a young adult book that's set, say, back in Oliver Twist, you know, that kind of a time, that back in when Dickens was writing. I mean, I think those books are still, even though they're dated, they're period books, they still have so much about and about people and about humanity and the human condition that can be shared. So could, if I go to your book, can I still find a guide to how to flesh that out and still be relevant?
Well, the story arc is, and the writer's journey parts of it as it relates to young adult fiction is always going to apply. I don't care what year you're writing about. And really, the basic concept of, you know, learning to be an adult, the, you know, that coming of age thing, that's in there. And that, and we break down motivations of children, why they do things, and who they are, and the problems they face. And I think that we're not psychiatrists. You know, I just, like I said, I just interviewed a kid. And I said, well, you know. And that's where a lot of the information came from. And then, of course, I had so many children. And then there's, I have grandchildren, and I see kids all the time. So I think I know them.
Yeah, I think so, too. You're speaking from experience. So I guess what we're saying is that it doesn't matter what period you set it in, the kids still are going through transitions from childhood to young adulthood. And so it would apply everything. Right. And it is hard. And so your theory is to lay that out there in your story, expose what they're going through. And you're giving the young the author tools to find a way to express those things. And that just sounds really important.
Well, I tried to.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've been successful in doing that. Have you done any? Go ahead. I was going to just ask if you've done any.
Well, I was going to say that even if your book is based in the 1800s or the 19th century, the kind, you know, what we really pushed in our book is characters. Characters drive your story. All young adult books really should be character-driven more than plot-driven. And we, you know, the kinds of characters that you find nowadays, you can are different. But what we try to encourage people to look for the different character, kid in the wheelchair, or, you know, somebody that you wouldn't think of as a hero or a heroine, and choose that person because that makes a much more interesting story.
Yeah, that's sure. That's a unique. It makes it much more unique, and not as predictable as blonde, blue eyes.
Well, yeah, and
kind
people,
of,
and it makes,
It gives you
so much room too, when you have a character that has so many flaws and so many quirks and so many problems. It practically writes itself because those are the things that will take your story from the beginning all the way to the end.
Right. Well, now that you've got the keys, so to speak, to the castle, they're all written down. You've written this wonderful book. Are you going to write another YA book yourself? Do you have something on tap that you're going to put into paper?
Well, Elizabeth and I, we wrote another book together. It's not exactly finished. We put it out. It is written, but it still needs tweaking. It's mm-hmm. the beginning of a series of new adult fantasy series based in a sort of apocalyptic world where the world was, it's a weird world because it was created when North Korea sent a nuclear weapon to where we store our nuclear weapons up in Wyoming, and it exploded. And it set off the super volcano in Yellowstone, okay? And that super volcano triggered super volcanoes all over the world. And it opened up a huge pit in the United States, and all of these mythical creatures came out of the pit because there really is a Middle Earth, like orcs and dragons and fairies and elves. And they all came out of the pit, and also magic came out of the pit, and a lot of humans became got magical powers. And so it's a post-apocalyptic, so it's after this has all happened and the elves are living in the world. And it's a series. It's loosely based on Beauty and the Beast because fairy tale stories are very hot right now. So anyway, and it's called Annabelle. Yeah. Annabelle and the Jackal. Mm-hmm. That first one. And,
Very cool.
Yeah.
And this is also a young adult, or is this an adult?
It's
or is
more
it both?
New adult. Yes, new adult is 18 years old and up.
Right.
And the young adult is under 18. And let's see, Vagrant won a Best Book Award for new adult. Because it's kind of the kid is, it starts out he's 18. And there are younger kids in it. And then, you know, and then the series grows and he gets married. And it moves on. The second book just came out in the Vagrant series called Mutant. And it just came out, so I haven't entered it in anything yet.
So is he in retirement age now?
Are
you
not
moving him along more slowly?
I think he's a whole 19 maybe now.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of stuff cooking on your burners, let me tell you.
That's the reporter thing.
Exactly. I was just asked that by somebody, how often do I write? And I said, every day. And that was a shock. It was like, they could not fathom that you have to sit down at your computer and actually do this. And I can't fathom that the days
not
before
doing
the computer, how they did it. Yeah, that's true.
Because you lose the story. You would lose the story if you don't stay in it every day. I mean, that's the whole thing about, and yes, maybe you only sit down and reread what you wrote yesterday and write a few words or go off and rock in your chair or float in your pool. I like to float and think about what's coming up next. But, you know, you have to be into your story every day to make it work, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree with that. You can't lose the thread or you get tangled up in the threads that are hanging out there. You need to tie things up.
No, you have to spend too much time when you come back to it trying to re-enter that world and reacquaint yourself with those characters. It's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. I can see why you want to float in your pool.
I do.
To escape the worry.
It's too cold I live in North Florida.
Well, like I said, we're having 7 inches promised of snow today. Because we're coming close to, we have 5 more minutes or a little bit more to go here, but I wanted to make sure we covered some advice that you could give people that are starting out as, say, new authors or authors that are hopeful authors that are trying to put down a story for the young adult reader, how should they start? Should they start by reading your book, picking your book up as a good guide? Should they start reading Nancy Drew mysteries? Where do you think they should start, basically?
Well, you have to have a feel for the genre, so you need to read it, you know. Find a young adult book that you like, that interests you. And in the young adult genre, there's all kinds of subgenres, you know, like science fiction or romance or adventure fiction. There's, you know, find one that you like and read it. And you have to have some basic idea of characters. And for that, you really can go to the young adult writer's journey, because we give you so many ideas for characters. I think that's one of the best things that we did. But pick out some characters and you know, make a plot that is character driven, that your characters write for you through their backgrounds, through their parents, through where they live. All those things affect who they are, what they are, and what they might be doing, and what kind of adventures they might be going on. And follow that.
Right.
That to me, that's, you have to have, you know, that basic characters. Always, you know, start with them, and that should take you as far as you need to go.
Yeah, you could build the story around them. Build the world around them. I was going to ask you I was just going to ask you one question regarding this this area that we're speaking about, writing for young kids. How do you handle the sex life of a young kid? A kid that's just growing as themselves and feeling romantic inclinations. How do you handle that correctly in a young adult book without offending parents and maybe scandalizing them? So how do you do that in an intelligent way?
Think about, literally, especially the boys. I mean, if you've ever had a son, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And
yes.
So,
that too.
And my 15-year-old granddaughter that lives with me, she goes from one boyfriend to the next, and she's only 15. And her relationships with them are everything, her and her phone and her boyfriend. And they don't last very long. They kind of move through them rapidly. But I think if you're going to address real sex, you need to move into the new adult section, which is 18 or older. I mean, that's just my opinion, because Elizabeth tells me that there are books for young adults younger than 18 where there is sex. And I would be uncomfortable with that. I mean, kissing, you know, and dating, and dancing, and having fun. To me, that's what young adult books are about.
Right.
And I don't think they should go any further than that. But that's
really good,
you know,
because, you know, no, I think that's more than an opinion. I think that's we have about 90 seconds left here, and I'm just going to have to wrap it up, but I really wanted to thank you so much for your insights, Janet. I know that you've certainly piqued the interest of some aspiring young authors and authors that may want to tackle that really delicate YA genre, the young adult genre. Until our next program, some words to the wise from Henry David Thoreau: never look back unless you're planning to go that way. Again, Janet, thank you, and I wish you the very best on your new ventures. This is Francesca Cuarto. Until the next time, read on. Thank you.
Are we over? Are you still there? I guess not.